Now, while our Taoiseach was warning COP27 today that future generations would not forgive us if this generation did not step up urgently, voters in the US were going to the polls in vital midterm elections for Congress and the Senate. And I'm joined on the line now by author and journalist with The Nation magazine, John Nicholls, to fill us in on how things are looking across the Atlantic this evening. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
I'm honored to be with you. And I've got to tell you, I'm in that very dangerous place for a political reporter where I've got a lot to say, but I don't know that much.
Okay, we'll take you as we find you, John. We know the turnout is going to be crucial in this, isn't it?
Yeah.
We know millions obviously voted as they do now ahead of today. But is there any sense this evening of how that turnout or who that turnout is going to favor?
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of a sense of it. And you know, we're sort of in the reading tea leaves moment. All of the polling places in America are still open. They'll be open for, you know, they're sort of just starting to close in a handful of states, Kentucky, Indiana. But in the next few hours, they'll start to close. At that point, we'll see, you know, what level of turnout we had today in person voting. But what we do know is that in many states across the country, we had the highest or some of the highest levels of early voting, that's absentee voting or voting before election day, that we've ever seen in the U.S. in a midterm election. In the state of Wisconsin, which is one of the real battlegrounds, for instance, there was a 35% increase in early voting. And there's generally, not always, but generally a sense that early voting helps the Democrats.
Yeah, but then we saw Joe Biden last night looking very downcast. So what is the thinking this evening now that I suppose most people, if they've been following it, will be aware that the sense was that the Republican Party would take control of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
No change in that view this evening.
I don't think there's a lot of change in it. Look, there's two houses of Congress, so this is the big deal. Generally, in a midterm election, the party that is out of power picks up a lot of seats in the House of Representatives, the lower house. On average, since Ronald Reagan was president, they picked up 31 seats. If the Republicans pick up anywhere near that number, if they even pick up half that number, they will take control of the House of Representatives. And I think the expectation is that is probably going to happen tonight. They have a lot of advantages there. The real question is in the Senate races. And in the U.S. Senate, it's a 50-50 split right now. The Republicans only have to win one more seat to have control of the Senate. And there are six or seven races right now that are exceptionally close. And, you know, it is possible that those races could split, that three could go to the Democrats. That would be Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And then three could go to the Republicans, potentially, you know, it's looking New Hampshire, Nevada, maybe, you know, Ohio. And the end result would be that it would come out about even, right? But if the Republicans just gain one of those places, which I think they've got at least a decent chance of doing, they will have control then of both houses of Congress. And Joe Biden will be in an entirely new political landscape.
And yeah, not in a place where he would ever hope to be, obviously.
No. In fact, it's a tough one. And it's because our politics is different now. Remember, Joe Biden won his first election 50 years ago this week. He was elected to the Senate 50 years ago. And in those days when you came in, there were moderate and even liberal Republicans. There were conservative Democrats. You could build different kinds of coalitions. Now the two parties in America are so deeply divided that when the Republicans come to power, Biden's going to find that, you know, he has very few allies, very few people that would be easy to reach across the aisle and find ways to work with.
Of course, we know then that many of the Republican candidates were actually campaigning on the so-called big lie, that this mm-hmm. Idea that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. We know he's strongly hinting that he may run again in the next election. Like, given how this is unfolding, would you fancy his chances?
Well, look, I've covered Donald Trump going back to his days in New York City. I've covered him for a very, very long time. And I long ago gave up on, you know, presuming that something couldn't happen with Donald Trump, because he is a unique figure in our politics. On balance, I would say that Donald Trump, who was defeated for president in 2020 by 7 million votes, is not the strongest candidate that the Republicans could put up in 2024. However, he is the most popular figure in the Republican Party. And so his chances of getting the nomination are quite good. And so the Republicans find themselves in a very, very difficult place tonight. They may well have a major political triumph. They may well take control of Congress and some of the key governorships. But then in short order, apparently within 2 weeks, Donald Trump is signaling that he wants to run for president again. And he is already attacking other Republicans who he thinks might get in his way. Like Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida.
Ron DeSanctimonious, as he was calling him last week.
Yes, he did. Yes. And you see, but you see, you're pointing that out is the key, because Donald Trump has a way of taking his opponents apart. And within the Republican Party, that is one of the reasons why he remains the dominant figure.
Indeed. OK, we will indeed be watching that space. John Nicholls, it was a pleasure as always. Thank you for that. And we will be on tenterhooks to see how it unfolds over the next few days.
I would look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, John. Take care.